views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. It is 7 p.m. on March 18, 2019. You are listening to the Odyssey Files. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. With me tonight is nobody, because Dave is sick with the flu and cannot make it. But I attempted to get a co-host and failed miserably to find somebody that wanted to come on this show with me for one solid hour. So I do not want to do a repeat, and there's a reason why. Because next week is our two-year anniversary show, in which case we will be doing the Paranormal Feud again. You remember that show, for people who have been listening to this program for a while, the complete debacle that was that show. Apparently, it was hilarious to everybody else but me, who was like fuming and had steam coming out my ears. But that's kind of like the perfectionist part of me, because I was really looking forward to that show and having, you know, the board tip over and nobody really paying attention. But yeah, we're going to try it again. And this time I'm going to probably duct tape the board to a chair. That thing is not going to move for, you know, 10,000 years. So everything is going to be fixed. I'm taking that one last year as a trial run to work out the bugs. But Cat Paranormal, who was the winners last year, they will be returning to defend their, I don't know, their victory, their kinghood, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. And I'm still looking for the people to go against them. So far, it has not been easy, because for some reason, everybody works. They don't get off in time for the 7 p.m. 7 p.m. show. Which is terrible news for me. But I will work. I will work on it throughout this week. I will find contestants. But if anybody wants to be polled, if anybody wants to answer the questions, obviously you have to do it this week. So if you're listening on repeat like a month from now, obviously that doesn't matter at all. But message me on the Odyssey Paranormal Society Facebook page. Or send me an email, director@odysseyparanormalsociety.com. And just let me know that you would like to take the questions. It's five questions, easy, takes less than 5 minutes. It takes longer for me to write them than it does for anybody to answer them. So what I thought that I would do tonight, because I'm not going to spend an hour just talking to you, I thought that I would play some greatest hits from our shows for this year, since we're not going to do that next year, or next week, I should say. So I'm recording this. So this isn't live. I'm recording this at 6.07 p.m. for a 7 o'clock air show. So yeah, fun times. I've got all of, you know, 40 minutes to put in our show together. Wish me luck! But let me just say, before I just kind of go on to clips for this past year, thank you for listening, I guess you could say. I was talking with Rebecca, who I will only call the CEO of ParaX, the other day, and she said that in the listener poll that they did, listener survey, that we were like five or six. She didn't know for sure, but five or six for all the ParaX shows people listen to live, you know, when during their time slot. Thank you for that. Dave and I honestly don't get told anything. We get no feedback, like, whatsoever from the people that listen. So sometimes we feel like maybe we're just doing it for ourselves. But and the few people that I know do listen. But that is awesome. It means a lot to us. I know if he were here, he would be seconding that. Yeah, so thank you. And if you ever have any suggestions, something or topics that you would like to hear Dave and I talk about, Dave and I discuss, or guests maybe that you think would be really cool to have on and be interviewed by us. Again, please feel free to message me, whether it's at the Odyssey Files Facebook page, the Odyssey Paranormal Society Facebook page, or email me at director@odysseyparanormal.com. We're more than welcome to any sort of. One more topic that I really wanted to discuss with you. Multiple, but we only have time for one. So I have come across a lot of people, including one of my own investigators, who have kids, and they believe that their kids are developing like mediumship psychic abilities, because they're seeing and they're hearing voices. They're getting woken up at night, and they can describe who they're seeing. And the constant question for the parent is always, how do I help them? How do I make them understand what's going on? Do you have any, I know it's probably a long, long process, but do you have any advice for parents and people, or even just them, on how, maybe it's a friend.
The first step, how they can help. The first step is to read this really cool book called Growing Up Psychic by this guy named Chip Coffey. That was a hefty plug, shameless. But it really is a good jumping off point for anybody who is helping to raise a psychic kid. And that is a parent, a grandparent, another relative, a teacher, a counselor, a doctor, a minister, whatever. So, you know, I think it gives a lot of good information, my book does. The other thing you've got to take into account is, what is the age of the child? Because until you reach about the age of adolescence, you've probably got a really healthy dose of imagination that's blended in with actual experience. And sometimes it's more one than the other, but I don't know how you determine that. I often tell parents of young kids to put a nanny cam or a hidden camera in their kid's bedroom and see if the kids are manipulating the parents to just get attention. What you also have to realize is that you just said something, and that is, I've got people on my team. Okay. So these kids are the children of people interested in the paranormal. So these kids probably have absorbed some things or heard their parents talking about ghosts and goblins and boogers and stuff like that that are around, and may have watched some of the shows. The first thing I do when I go in on an investigation is look at people's bookshelves and their DVDs. Is it loaded with ghost adventures, ghost hunters, paranormal state, kindred spirits? What have they got, and what books are they reading? Are they reading It and horror stories and books by John Edward and James Van Prague and whatever? Are they already primed Have they sensitized themselves to this stuff? So it's difficult with kids particularly, but honestly, raising a psychic kid is not hugely different than raising any other kid, as long as there's nothing negative going on. Love your kid, protect your kid, listen to your kid, believe your kid, defend your kid, and don't make a big deal about the psychic stuff. My parents never made it a big deal.
I do enjoy Chip so very, very much. But we need to be moving on. Up next is, I thought was an absolutely phenomenal answer by Miss Elizabeth Saint to the question of a certain programming platform that was going to show up on her baby, VidiSpace. I thought it was very thoughtful and open-minded, and I just wanted to, again, share it with everybody so that they could, I guess, enjoy it like we did. So next up is Miss Elizabeth Saint.
Yeah, okay. So, all right, and we've already kind of pre-addressed this, but we're going to bring it back up now. So as I was looking at VidiSpace as the future channels, I think that's what it was called there. That's what I'm going to call them anyway. Future channels. So one of them was the Satanic channel. And personally for me, it was a personal question for me that came out, you know, that I just needed to ask you. And as we talked about it, I think it's really important that you share with everybody what you shared with Mike and I, because it really, it really put me at ease and kind of, you know, brought to light what you're trying to accomplish. So that said, floor is yours. Yeah.
So, you know what? It's so funny. The first time anybody ever saw anything about the Satanic space, it was twice. One, obviously, being the channel space block that you see on the website. You know, if you scroll all the way down, that's where you'll see it.
There's where I saw it.
But then also, we put out a promo with Lucian Greaves, the co-founder and spokesperson of the Satanic Temple, and in that little blip of the promo that we did. And it caused like a huge kind of uproar on social media. And I think that obviously, you know, you put the word Satan or Satanic anywhere near the paranormal community, you know, there's a lot of negative connotations associated with it, obviously for good reason. So I lost a lot of people that day, to say the least. And it was difficult for me, you know, especially starting a new business. I think that's what a lot of people didn't understand. It's like, you know, you're opening up this area where a lot of people, like, you don't have that much content on there yet. It's not like it's getting lost in the shuffle of all these other things. You know, we're not like a Netflix where, you know, you have thousands of titles, and if you see something or some documentary or some like horrific film, you kind of like pass it by because you're like, ah, it's just one of many. I'm not going to get mad about it.
Right.
And, I lost some show hosts that day. I had a few very tough conversations with people as well that were putting future content out. And I think ultimately it's because, you know, people don't want that to rub negatively on their brands. And I totally get that. But what I couldn't get past is the fact that, you know, like, I was raised Catholic, you know, I'm all about positivity and light and shedding light on this world, and I couldn't turn my back on a group of people, a subculture that was very misunderstood, because you hear about Satanism and Satanists, and a lot of times you hear about, you know, the Satanic Panic and all these negative associations with Satanism in general. And I got to know a group, the Satanic Temple, through a good friend of mine, actually, Bob Mersch, of the Talking Board Historical Society. And they were doing this Ouija board kind of showing at the Satanic Temple in Salem. And I had never been to Salem. I had never been to, I was like going in, I was like, oh my God, what if someone sees me going into the Satanic Temple? But I was going to support my friend, you know, and he's not a Satanist. He just, he has a lot of friends that are Satanists. And I think that, you know, it's so funny to me now to look back, because I was acting the way the people acted to me when I first said, you know, oh, we're going to have the satanic space. And when I got to know these group of people, at the end of the day, the Satanic Temple, it's not going to be like all Satanists. It's not going to be like all satanic content. At the end of the day, it's just, you know, one subculture group of people, the Satanic Temple. They actually don't believe in Satan. When you get to know them, they don't believe in anything paranormal. They don't worship the devil or anything like that. They're really political activists, and they do a lot of work in that regard. And you can just Google them, and they're all over the news sometimes. And whether you believe in their mission or not is besides the point. But they really fight hard for, you know, equal rights, and they fight hard for their political activism. And I was like, you know what? It would be great to do some documentary pieces and show people what you're really about, because there's a very strong misconception between who you are and what you do. And I was like, you know what? I think it would be great to put you guys on the platform, and we'll work it out for a period of time, and we'll do some documentaries, segments, and you guys can create your own content shows, and people can really get to know, you know, what it is that you represent, which I think a lot of people, when the content comes out, will be surprised. And I'm really excited about that. They just found out, I think it was just posted today, actually, their documentary is going to be premiering at Sundance around the time that the Satanic Space will also be coming to surface. So I think a lot of people will get to see more and more about what they're truly about. And I know the most recent uproar that people had with them was their statue being used on the Sabrina Teenage Witch on Netflix. There was that huge suing that occurred and everything like that.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to show content and have interviews and show things from a perspective for people to really understand and get to know them if they're curious. You know, I who would I be if I was to ostracize a group of people? Like, that would go against what I'm trying to do, which is, you know, to represent the subcultures that, you know, get a lot of shit all the time. Because even us as paranormal investigators, we get a lot of shit from a lot of people all the time. And I really want to bring to light all the different groups of people out there. You know, we'll have the God space eventually. I just need content for it. Bring it my way. You know, we're working on the inspirational space as we speak. There's like three different shows that we're working on right now for that. Like, I'm all about positivity and everything like that, but I can't just ostracize a group of people because of the title they decided to call their group. And I'm never going to put anything on the platform that I don't personally believe in, or I think that's going to be negative in any way, shape, or form, because that's just not who I am. But I think, you know, the best thing I could do from my perspective is to not be scared of putting controversial content on my platform, because I think people are going to get mad. You know, like, people make documentaries all the time and they get a lot of shit for their perspectives and viewpoints. But at the end of the day, it gets people, you know, talking. It gets us conversing more with each other and kind of fleshing out our differences and not being so terrified of a group of people just because, you know, Satan is in the name. And that's sad, too, because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that are Satanists out there and they're not doing anything wrong. They're just living their life, you know. Could be your doctor, they could be, you know, your lawyer, whatever the case may be. But it's just, you know, I want to just disassociate people from thinking that it's all negative all the time. But yeah, it was a shame to me when I lost people that day, and I tried to explain it to them, but I also understand their viewpoint. You know, as light workers and as people that work in this community, a lot of people, it just doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the content is. It could be the most positive content on the whole platform. It could be the most uplifting material. But because of that name, a lot of people just will not tolerate it, and that's fine.
But you know what's disturbing about that And I love that response that you just gave. And that's very similar to what we talked about prior to the show. So, but is the superficiality of the people that that are going to base it solely on the name?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a shame. Because then who are you really as a person? Not you, obviously, you in general, in air quotes. Who are you as a person if you're going to basically blast somebody because of their name and not get, you know, not give them the opportunity to maybe spend an hour out of your life to see what they have to say?
Right, exactly.
Always a pleasure to have Elizabeth on, and I believe me, I've been trying for months to set up another one, but again, not happening. Next up is just 2 months ago, we had Mr. Dustin Perry. He will be back on in another about 2 months or so. So we're definitely looking forward to that. But this one I thought was a very good answer and a very kind of wake up call as to what, I guess, what goes on kind of behind the scenes when people reach out to, I mean, especially him for a help. And I'll just let you listen to it. I think I know the answer to this one, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
All right.
Do you find that more people connect to your inspirational and motivational messages or to your paranormal side?
You know, it's an interesting mix. It's definitely growing on the motivational side of things, which I'm very thankful for. I mean, I'll always love the paranormal. Like, I love all the stuff I do in it, you know. Like, last night I was really mad because it's so dang cold here. It's like 20 degrees. I'm like, I just want to go out and walk around in the woods and look for weird stuff. But it's so cold, I can't stand it. So
20 degrees.
Yeah. 20 degrees. Really?
Wow. I know it's warm for you guys, right?
Are you aware that it's
you're in the middle of a blizzard world over there.
Yeah, when I shoveled this afternoon, it was -4.
Oh,
And by tomorrow, we're going to have wind chills of like -50 here.
Oh, dear Lord.
And you think
I would never leave the house.
I would never
leave the house, man. I can't take it. Like, I mean, this week we're supposed to be in the negatives. We get like 6 degrees or whatever. And I'm like, last week at this time, I was in Florida. I was at Disney. And it was 70 and 80. And I'm like, yes, this is where I belong, you know? But I come back here and freeze. But anyway, man, it means a lot to me. Like, the motivational connection means a lot to me. And I'll always dance with the paranormal. It's a passion of mine, always will be. I love getting into creepy stuff and looking for weird things. And the other night, my buddy Cody and I, we saw a UFO and like contacted my local meteorologist. I'm like, could you check? Because I used to work for CBS News. I'm like, hey, man, can you check the reports? Like, were there any like meteors or anything? Like, here's the time, here's the town. And like, he got back to me 2 days in a row. He's like, I searched. He's like, I even contacted some other people. Nobody saw anything. I'm like, this is amazing. You know, like, I'm always out looking for weird stuff. And so I'll go there, and I'll go to the events, and I'll always do the paranormal stories, and I'll always talk about the different theories, which are always evolving, and it's exciting for me. And I like to hear people's stories and connect with them. But when somebody comes to you and says, you know, you tweeted such and such when I was going through this time, and I had a couple recently that contacted me, and they were both contemplating suicide because they felt like they were in that bad of a place. And something I posted just caught their attention, and they started following my feed, and they got in touch with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and they ended up going to a facility to get care, and now they're out, and you know, they're working on things, and they're doing better. And so when that stuff happens, it's like, yeah, it's great to have a crowd full of people that want to hear my ghost stories from around the world, but just knowing you helped one person make it through a dark time, there's no comparison for that, you know?
I'm actually happy that you brought that up, because I didn't know exactly how to transition, because this is a question that I've been waiting like weeks in order to ask. To give the context of why I'm asking this, I'd probably say maybe 3-4 weeks ago, logged on to my Twitter, and you know, like always, I don't follow many people, so your tweets and things that and people that tweet at you showed up on my feed, and there was a message to you from this woman, and I remember very distinctly it saying, "I, you know, Dustin, I'm in. Why haven't you responded to me? I'm in such a dark place right now." And your reply to that was rightfully, you know, you're not a clinically, you know.
Not a counselor, yeah.
Yeah, you're not a counselor. You're not on a therapist. If she's in such a bad place, that, you know, this is who she should contact. And I didn't see if there's anything past that. But my question is, does that happen often? And if so, how does that affect you? To where maybe from the aspect of, do you think people are putting too much
emphasis? Shoulders. Yeah.
Yeah. Are they putting too much pressure on you to try to help them?
Right. To do it all, basically. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, I get it. And it does get difficult sometimes. You know, and I've got some friends of mine in the field that do motivational speaking and stuff too. And you get to the point where, I mean, you want to try to help everybody. And, you know, with my day job and everything, I can't just sit on social media all day and go through my feed. But I try to get back to everybody I can, especially if I see, you know, a message like that. So in that young lady's case, I probably missed a message or two from her previously. So when I saw that, I was like, I definitely want to, you know, I saw it, I'm going to reach out. You know, anytime somebody asks me for help, I try to help them. Anytime somebody asks me to pray for them, I make sure I pray for them. I do what I say I want to do. And there's some people that I've worked with, you know, personally. Like, you know, I'll send them direct messages and stuff, and you have to be very selective, you know, but I try with emails and everything. And sometimes, you know, you can give people the right direction. And I always make sure I give them the counselor's numbers and stuff, because I'm not trained to do that level of care. And I want to make sure that they're getting what they need. And if my job is just to be somebody who points them in the right direction, then that's what I do. But some people, I use this analogy, you become their magic feather. And they start to feel better because you told them this. And then they are okay for a little while. And then something bad happens again, so they come back to you. And then they come back to you, and they come back to you, and they come back to you. And at some point, I have to tell them, like, listen, it's just like Dumbo. Like, you can fly on your own. Like, I've been here to help you. I've guided you. I know what you're capable of doing. But you have to fly on your own. Like, I can't be your security blanket all the time. You know, and here's numbers of people you can call if you need further help. And, you know, I'm happy to be of assistance. But, you know, at some point, it's funny, you know, many, many moons ago, I dated a young lady who's a lifeguard. And she told me that in lifeguard training, one of the first things they told her was, if you swim out to save somebody, one of the first things you often have to do is kick them away from you, because they're in such a state of panic, they will grab you and drag you down with them. So you have to keep your own life preserver on too, you know? So I have to keep that in mind all the time. But it's tough, because I just want to give. But at some points, it's like, you know, there's nothing left in the cupboard, man. I get tired too. But I'm thankful to do it, and I do the best I can with it.
All right. That is even better. The third time I've heard it. So we're going to go to break. We're going to come back in a few minutes after some wonderful commercials with what I thought was an exceptionally emotional thing that Mr. Friend of the show, Ken Bockel, wanted to talk about when he was on our show about a month or so back. So we'll be back here in a few minutes. You are listening to The Odyssey Files on Para-X.
UFOs, Bigfoot, cryptids.
All I'm on the coin. You think it's you listening to the words of Parallax?
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear...
Line!
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X. Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we are back. Welcome. You are listening to a hurriedly put together best of show of the last year of the Odyssey Files. My time, it is now about 9 minutes before I'm supposed to go on the air. So I need to get moving on this. So up next it is a great clip from our interview with Mr. Ken Buckle, who I might add is going to be special guest investigator to our Ashmore Estates event that's coming up August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Tickets are now on sale if you would like to join us for that. It's Ashmore, Illinois. You can go on to the Odyssey Paranormal Society Facebook page and get all the event info from there, and that will also give you a link to the Eventbrite page where you can purchase tickets. But I have never been there. Ken has never been there. So we're really, really looking forward to this. It should be an absolutely phenomenal event.
There's something again, here is Mr.
Very personal. I know that you wanted to talk about tonight. And for me, it was surprising. very much so. And I know that last year, late September, early October, I started out like a normal day, and then all of a sudden I get on Facebook or Twitter, one of the two, and I see a message from Lindsay mm-hmm. Center, who is your manager. And not only was I saddened when I read it, but I was shocked because there was like no lead up. It was just because you and I are friends on Facebook. You know, I follow you on Twitter, and I get on each social media platform each day. Had no idea that this was coming, and then after that, you just kind of whoosh disappeared, and. What happened to make that whole situation come about?
Well, after 10 years of being together with someone, my husband, we were together for 10 years. We were married for the last three of those because it was only in those 3 years that the state of Kentucky allowed gay marriage. He said to me on our 10-year anniversary, the day of, that he wasn't happy, and he didn't love me anymore, and he wanted out. And the lead-up to that was difficult because we had tried various different things. I thought we were completely 100% happy. I thought we would be together forever. I thought that part of my life was done. I was never going to have to ever worry about that ever again. Not ever. And then we were filming season 2, which season two of Tarot Date was filmed in over the course of 36 hours. And I did the first day of filming, which was about four episodes. And then I went home, and he and I totally had it out. And I'd been sleeping in the floor for a while, and because it wasn't comfortable in the bed was crowded. And with issues and a number of other attendees, and I just, it was just not good for me to be there. And so I was in the floor, and I said to him, would you just want a divorce or something like that? And he just was blank. No tears, no crying. And I was there crying, and I thought, oh snap, that's not good. And then later on in the fight, he said to me, no, I don't want to get a divorce. And, you know, I do want to work things out. And I, in my gut, I was just still kind of put back. So I go into film the second day, and my great friend and production assistant, Kim Ford Johnson, Mama Kim, she picked me up and she said, what's wrong? And I said, it's over. I know that it's over. This is not good. My marriage is done. And I cried, and we went to the airport and picked up Nick Groff. And Nick said, dude, you're not okay. What, your vibe is off. What's wrong? And I said, Nick, it's over. My marriage is over. I feel it. And we get to the location, which is the Kentucky Castle, a big, beautiful place. And there's Elizabeth. And Elizabeth Saint said, you know, my God, we're not doing another effing thing until we get you okay. You're not all right. And I cried and told her, and we talked about it, and I fixed my makeup and took a shot of moonshine, and I went ahead and filmed the first episode and did that. Great episode. Cried through the break, fixed my makeup, took a shot, right back to episode two. Same thing in three, four, and five. So we filmed five more episodes that day, sobbing between every single one of them. And so Nick and Elizabeth and Mama Kim were the first people to know that this was bad. However, I didn't really think it was over. I thought we can fix this because I said till death do us part. I said that. And I'm really big about if I say something, I'm sticking with it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm that person. And if I've made a deal with you, then you better believe it's going to happen. And so I came home that day. That was the second day of filming, and I cried, and he cried, and we kind of, I thought, worked it out. And then the day of our 10-year anniversary, he said that, I don't love you, I'm not happy, and I went out. And I mean, it was one of those real BS moves of like, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I love you, but this isn't love. I don't love you like that. Like, and I just stood there like, you gotta be kidding me. And I had a complete and total, I disassociated from life. I mean, my brain broke. And so I called everybody I could think of, panicked, everybody I knew that was in town. And I was like, someone's got to come pick me up. Somebody has to pick me up. I can't drive. I can't think. Someone come get me. And long story short, I ended up at Mama Kim's house, and I stayed there for hours just crying. My security guard and one of my best friends, his name's Adam Johnson, he came in, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and he crawled into the bed next to me, and he just held me while I cried like a baby. And I continued to do that for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. I cried. I did not know how I was going to get through life. I showed up for my day job every day. I did continue to do a couple of readings, and then I eventually stopped doing that because there was no way I was going to help anybody else in the shape I was in. I was devastated. I really, and I don't mean this lightly, I did not think I was going to live through that at all. And so that led to what I guess you would call it a hiatus or whatever, like a big freaking break, until November when I said, you got to get back. You got to do the work. You can't just go away. And really it came at Lindsay Center, who owns Center Stage, you know, my manager. She said to me, look, Ken, you've been on the soapbox for a really long time telling people about how to get over stuff. And you've given a lot of advice. So look, you can either go to, and this is Lindsay Center, who's probably one of the sweetest people in the world, said to me, so look, you can either, you know, go to bed with it and become a hypocrite, which we all know you love those, or you can get up, wipe your tears, and you can process it and take your own advice. And so I started doing that, taking my own advice. And thought about all the things I would say to someone in a reading and coped and dealt with it. You know, that's what happened. And it was difficult because he had not given me all of the truth. And my spirit guide was doing that for him. She would say to me, in weird, inopportune times, get ready, or are you ready? And I knew that something was about to happen, and she would say, there is someone else, and there has been someone else. And I would say to him, who is he? And he wouldn't say a word. And then it came, you know, finally after pressure, okay, here he is, here's this guy. And my spirit guide said, get ready, because the truth is he, in every way, shape, or form, is better than you. So I Googled him, and I looked him up, and sure enough, he was a lot better than me. I thought. Externally, yes. Beautiful, young, successful, educated, but turned out to be a really twisted individual. And she'd say, you know, get ready. There are pictures that you haven't seen. And I found those pictures. And then there are disturbing things that you should know. And I found those disturbing things. And it broke my heart and devastated me. So it was one of those times where being a psychic was horrible. Having a spirit guide was horrible. So when the bulk of all of the terrible things, I mean, emails between everybody and stuff that were about, you know, being together while I was still married to my husband. When all that was all done, I said to my spirit guide, wow, God's green earth, would you be doing this to me? And she said, because, Ken, if I didn't tell you this, you would never get over it. And there was no way in hell he'd ever give you the whole truth. So it was an experiment in human endurance and human pain that I haven't felt in a very long time, probably since my parents made me homeless at 15. I struggled that hard. So that's what happened to me. That's where I went. I went to one of the darkest places I'd been in a long time.
So, I can't speak for Dave. So, I mean, if he, wants to chime in as well, but, I'm certainly no stranger to, betrayal. Such as that may be a little different. Just the being lied to and quit on and whatnot. Not so much by a loved one, but somebody that you trusted, somebody, whether they're friends or spouses, lovers, you know, doesn't matter. Betrayal is betrayal. And I know personally, you know, any time that happens, I feel a great amount of anger and hurt and heartbreak and all that kind of stuff. How do you get to the point where that doesn't fester and just become like hatred?
I fight with it every day. I fought with it today. Now, look, I'm one of the only paranormal people out there, and I don't consider myself a celebrity, but I have a platform, and I'm the only person I know on a platform that's telling people the honest truth about who they are, and the honest truth is I am angry every single day. I am devastated every single day. I'm dizzy, and I'm shook. However, the only way I have been able to process it, for example, today, is coming to my prayer space. And I sit there and I pray and I meditate and I chant and I pray and I meditate and I focus my mind and I say, okay, look, I'm in hell. Like, this is as close to hell as you're going to get. And I know that there are levels and levels of happiness that go way before that. So I kind of try to meditate and pray to get myself from level to level till I come to a place where the anger, the pain, and the suffering is hollow, without reason, without point, without real weight in my soul and in my spirit. And that makes it easier to deal with. So it comes from feeding my soul and feeding my spirit and getting my head right and trying to find something close to compassion. You know, I'm very clear about this. I don't think he's a bad person, nor would I want anyone else to think that. That's why I said to Lindsay, please write this, because there's no way I could write something that's not one-sided. I'm too broken. You know, I wanted it all to be very balanced. So I don't think horrible things about him. I don't want anyone else to, but I still feel like any normal person would, like you would, like Dave would, like when someone pulls the rug out from underneath you and you're drowning, you're mad at them, you're hurt, you're devastated, and anger is a part of that. So it comes from deep spiritual work and processing it, not allowing myself to compartmentalize it and swallow it and shove it down, just working and dealing with it. It's an ugly business. It ain't pretty, but you got to do it.
So I just want to say something quick, is I'm just glad that you're with us still, because I know the darkness that comes from that, and I know the fight and the struggle that it takes to do what you're doing. And so I just want to say that I'm glad that we're sitting here talking tonight, and that the darkness didn't consume you to the point where you caved in. So,
well, I wouldn't possibly get into the details of it right now. But I'll tell you for a fact, I'm surprised. I'm surprised because, and it came from the spiritual work I was telling you about, and all of my friends and chosen family, that kept me from it. But there were times that I was on the edge, really, literally, sometimes on the edge, and it was hard to come back off of it. And I mean, you know, I stayed drunk. I totally, when I wasn't doing my readings, look, and the honest truth is I fell off the wagon. I totally fell off the wagon. I resorted to, you know, alcohol and drugs again, because it was like I couldn't cope. And then that became a thing where it was like, oh my God, if you don't get it together, you're never going to be Kim Bogle again. You're going to end up homeless. You're going to end up dead. You're going to end up dead. That's what I really thought. Forget saying homeless. I thought I would end up dead. So I had to pull it together. Yeah, I'm shocked. But thank you for saying that, because it took a tremendous amount of strength. I ain't even lying. A tremendous amount of strength, that.
No matter what we talk about, it's always an absolute pleasure to have Ken on the show. One more interview that I'm going to play is by when we, Dave and I, interviewed the exorcist, Reverend Michael Schrader. There wasn't a lot of comedy in that show, and there shouldn't be, but I still thought that it was probably one of the best interviews that we have ever conducted. I thought that the information that was shared was phenomenal and really needed to be heard again. So here it is. Thanks.
I think that's a great thing. I just, quick question. So that's a great segue into this question, and this just kind of popped into my head. So I have been a proponent against Ouija boards for a very, very, very long time. And I've had some really what I would call severe cases that stemmed from the original use of a Ouija board. Do you have anything that you can add to that to kind of either back me up maybe a little bit?
Come out of that. Sure. And it's a game. It's a game. It's a children's game. And right. So it's not supposed to seem like it's dangerous. But what is the object of the game? The object of the game is to open yourself up and ask a spirit to do something for you that you couldn't get, that you wouldn't normally know, or you normally couldn't get. And it's not asking God for something. It's not praying to God and asking God to help you through something. It's asking whatever and whatever is in the board. Now, if you really understand what a Ouija board is, you're asking the demon of the board to give you that information. You're not asking a spirit. I think that specifically in the thing, you come forward and ask them. So in my experience, somebody could use a Ouija board, a dozen times, and it doesn't affect them, but it only takes once. You open yourself up, and it could be with anything. You know, you could even draw the Ouija board in the sand, you know, and do it with your finger, If you open yourself up spiritually to things, you're welcoming them in. You're saying, you know, come in and talk to me.
Right.
That's why paranormal investigators need to be so careful when they're talking to things, too. Because you really need to know what you're talking to. You really need to understand the supernatural world. You kind of, in my opinion, need to kind of apply that from God's perspective. And I think most paranormal investigators are interested, but they're out there trying to help families. You know, they're trying to help people figure out what's going on in their homes. And so, you know, when you start talking to something that you don't know what you're talking to, you can be talking to something that's high level and evil and not even know it.
Exactly. And then that's when we put ourselves in danger, obviously, while we're trying to benefit the individual that called us in there in the first place.
You can, sure. If you think you're talking to Grandpa, you know, and it's not Grandpa, because if you have something that's a demonic entity and it's supernatural and powerful, why can't it mock another spirit? Why can't it look like something? One of the big things, guys, that I have a problem with is when investigators or people, not even investigators, when people say, well, we got a spirit of a little girl that's in our house that talks to us and is real friendly and stuff. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. If you come at it from my point of view, from a Christian point of view, the scripture teaches us that we need to be like little children because they're innocent. When little children pass, they're with our Lord. They're not hanging around haunting houses. You know, so I would be really skeptical if you're talking to a little girl spirit, what that really might be. You know, that's a child that's below the age of innocence. You know, certainly when we talk about children, you know, that's everywhere to a young adult. And you know, when you're old enough to understand and make your own path with God, that's a different story. But the children that are not. I don't think they're running around haunting houses. That's my opinion after years of thought and running into these things.
Well, I got to tell you, you and I are best friends right now because Mike and I are kind of looking at each other. Mike gives me double thumbs up because I have been saying that for the last probably 15 to 20 years. That when I go to a case and somebody says, well, yeah, this little kid comes out and she's so cute and she runs around and has got a little brown dress on. And right. I'm like, no, there's no child. No, I said, no. There's no children here haunting your house because children, when they pass, are innocent and they are moving directly to be with God. They are not staying here haunting your house.
Right. Kind of the interesting thing, too, from a practical point of view, if you really dig into some of these spirits, like the children, there'll always be something wrong. If you're lucky enough to get an image or a photo or a video of something, there'll always be something wrong with it. There'll be something missing, or there'll be something creepy about her. They're saying, so it'll look like the cute little girl in a little pink dress, but she'll have like a something deformed on her, and it just won't be right.
Right, so, elongated face, it'll be droopy looking, or something like that. Yep.
Right. Yep. The Lord gives us clues.
Yep, absolutely.
So one of the things that we did last year at the end of our Best Of show was we played a compilation of all of the promos that we have gathered from our guests over the last 2 years. And I have a great time playing them every single week. Sometimes it's hard for me to pick which ones I want to play, because I can only play two and then end it with our great Ken Boggle one. So I'm just going to kind of just play a little compilation of all the promos that we play each week, and even in a lot of the ones that we don't. There are some that there is one that I have never played before, which I will do, and that is from Katrina Weidman, and that is because we screwed up. The thing of our promos, if you haven't noticed, is that we kind of like them to not only promote the show, but also insult us at the same time. I just find it hilarious. I don't know why, but it is. And I think our guests also have a lot of fun doing them. But sometimes we have to give them ideas. And I gave Katrina Weidman an idea,
And it wasn't until like the day after when I was still laughing about it and thinking about it, like, oh, that probably wasn't the phrasing that we should have had. So it's, I'm going to play it, hopefully, and along with a bunch of other ones, and then the show will pretty much be done. Enjoy these as a kind of send-off for the end of the show, and I'll either have to turn on the auto DJ or Miss Rebecca will be up. I honestly have not timed this out. I do not know how much time I have left. So enjoy, and we will see you next week with our 2-year anniversary show in the Paranormal Feud. Everybody have a good week.
Hey, this is Grant Wilson from Ghost Hunters, and if you ever have time that you never want to get back, spend it listening to Mike and Dave on the Odyssey Files.
This is Elizabeth Saint. You know, in my journeys, I've confronted an over 1,000-year-old demon from the depths of Shepherdstown. But then, you know what happened? I came across Mike and Dave. And hot damn, nothing could have prepared me for the Odyssey Files. My second favorite radio show. I love you guys.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. More painful than a Tyrannosaurus Rex stepping on your testicle. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files.
This is Lindsay with Center Stage Events, and Mike and Dave are the nicest, most talented people I will never have in my roster. They're the top of the bottom.
Hey, everybody, it's Chad Lindbergh, and you are listening to the Odyssey Files with David and Michael. And let me tell you, it's almost as painful as a Skype glitch.
Hi, everybody. This is Chip Coffey, psychic and medium. I just wanted to let you know that when you're in the mood to get weird, you need to tune in to the Odyssey Files with two of the biggest weirdos I know, David and Michael. Take my advice. It doesn't get any weirder than that.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files, because if you don't, you're going to get abducted. And it didn't work.
This is Carol Cleveland from Haunt Me. If you want to put the fun and dysfunctional, listen to the Odyssey Files with Dave and Mike.
Hi, this is Ty Gowan from the web series Haunt Me, and I suggest listening to the Odyssey Files because it's full of Dave's talent where Mike has none.
Hey guys, this is Katrina Weidman from Paranormal Lockdown, and after spending an hour with Mike and Dave, it definitely makes me miss talking with the dead.
Hello, everyone. This is Ken Bogle. You know, you hear so many great moments during each and every episode of the Odyssey Files with Dave and Mike. But if I had to really choose my favorite moment, it would have to be when the show was over.